guys, I'm back. That's right. It's been a while since I've done one of these podcasts, but I'm glad to be here. I do terribly miss it, and I want to thank that person who left a comment on YouTube on my last video that I did. You sort of kind of inspired me to kind of jump back into the game. Plus, there's so much going going on around the world. Again, I just felt the necessity to jump on here and basically get back into the game. So before we get into tonight's discussion or topic, I want to send out a shout out to my good friend Robert. Robert just came back from France supporting the Yellow Vest. I did catch a few videos that he sent me, and again, I want to thank you, Robert, for all the work that you've done and that you will continue to do. Also, guys, if you get a chance, check out Robert's work on our platforms, on our channels. He does some great work, and a lot of his videos are quite popular because the guy just speaks very well, and his messages are pretty informative. Speaking of which, our platforms, by the way, we are on three platforms, Anchor FM, we are on YouTube, and we're also on Rumble. So if you guys want to check us out, by all means, please subscribe. All right, so tonight's topic, it's a topic that I came across when I was on TikTok. I watched the video and some of the stuff that this lady was saying, and I can't remember her name. She was talking about digital currencies and a currency reset. I know a lot of people have been talking about this for a while. There was a lot of mention about this on the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, everybody knows that guy. He's quite the character himself. But what she was saying about this digital currency and how it was going to cause economic catastrophe just kind of pushed me to do this video. So tonight's discussion is going to be about the currency reset. And I'm going to get into a few articles. So this is something that you guys should research and get used to, because you're going to hear this word a lot, this acronym, which basically is the CBDC, so which stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. Now, this CBDC is part of the currency reset. You see, our current fiat currency, our actual physical cash, is basically going to be, it's going to be obsolete. So a lot of people are very concerned, which they should be, because some of the well, probably more cons than pros, if anything else. So we'll get into that. But before I get into anything else, I want to I basically want to describe what a CBDC is, a central bank digital currency. I got this explanation out of Investopedia. And basically what the CBDC is a central bank digital currencies, which are digital tokens similar to cryptocurrency issued by a central bank. They are pegged to the value of the country's fiat currency. Many countries are developing CBDCs, and some have even implemented them. Because so many countries are researching ways to transition to digital currency, it is important to understand what they are and what they mean for society. Now, if you notice, there are, I mean, again, there's still people using cash. I mean, sometimes I'll use cash, but a lot of people nowadays, if you, you know, you walk into your grocery store or any type of store, a lot of people are using their debit cards or credit cards. So, I mean, in some ways we are already on some level doing digital transactions. So this is why that, you know, this whole cryptocurrency became popular. But anyways, let's read some of the key takeaways. Central bank, the first takeaway is a central bank digital currency is the digital form of a country's fiat currency. Now, let me talk about fiat currencies for a second, because a lot of people are not in favor of them. Well, I don't know if there's a lot of people, but there's quite a number of people that do not want a fiat currency, and again, these are the people that support the gold standard. Okay, now a fiat currency makes sense with the population base that we have. Now, the gold bugs will tell you differently, and they will basically say that money should have value. Well, money doesn't have value. Okay, money should never have value. Money is basically an ends to a mean. So basically, it's a way to purchase goods. Because you see, we did the bartering system way back when, and in some cases it does work, but for most cases it's just not really practical. Now, I wanted to get into the gold standard because I want to explain to people why we don't use a gold standard and why we should never use a gold standard. Okay, now back in 74 and prior, the gold standard, sorry, the dollar was pegged to the gold standard. So basically, what that meant was any private banks that loaned money out would have to loan it in ratio with the gold that they had in their vaults. Now, here's the problem with gold. There's only so much gold to go around. So basically, banks, when they would have to lend money out, would be very limited to the amount of money that they can lend out because of the limited amount of gold. So therefore, having a gold-backed currency would basically be, it wouldn't be practical because of the amount of people that we have in the world. I mean, we got a population of what, 8 billion people? I mean, if you would have a gold standard, you would have a lot of people in poverty. So it just would not work, okay? Now the next takeaway is a CBDC is issued and regulated by a nation's monetary authority or central bank. Now, central bank I agree with, but how it's regulated and how it's controlled is another question that we all should ask, okay? Now, if we're gonna have a digital currency that is going to be controlled by a bunch of technocrats or a bunch of politicians, then again, look how we control the money now. Again, it's controlled by a bunch of politicians who make the rules and regulations, and then what ends up happening is they print up a whole bunch of money and then they ship it off to other nations who in return buy weapons from, big mega corporations, and then basically, our rotting infrastructure continues to rot, and the homeless population continues to explode. So there are obviously consequences when you have currency or a central bank that is being controlled by a bunch of politicians. And this is something that Robert and myself have been and talking about how we need to implement a direct democracy, so this way that it's the people themselves that are regulating the Central Bank of Canada or the Federal Reserve System in America. Okay, let's move to the next takeaway. CBDCs promote financial inclusion and simplify the implementation of a monetary and fiscal policy. The next one is a centralized form of currency. They may not anonymize transactions as some cryptocurrencies do. So basically, what that means is that every transaction is tracked. So the days of making cash on the side, well, those days are over. Now, again, you could probably try to get away with it, but again, when you create a transaction, all this stuff is done online. So therefore, it can be tracked. So you could probably get away with it a few times, but sooner or later, if they do find out and they do catch you, the penalties could be severe. Again, I'm just assuming here, but knowing the government and how they always want their tax money, this would be no different. So the days of cash, the days of making additional money on the side without it being taxed are gone. So that is definitely a bad thing. That's another bad thing about digital currencies. Let's move on to the last takeaway, which is many countries are exploring how CBDCs will affect their economies, existing financial networks, stability. And apparently, there are countries that have already implemented it now. And this is why Canada and especially the States are basically being pushed to go in this direction with a digital currency. All right, now I came across this video is on YouTube, and it's from the Pod Finance. Now, it's got two individuals in it. It's got Jim Rickards. He's a big financial guy. I mean, I've watched a few of his videos, and the other guy is the guy who wrote that book, Rich Man, Poor Man, or sorry, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, I believe his name is. Anyways, this is a nine. It's about 9 minutes in length, but there's a lot of really great information in here that you guys should to listen to. So listen to this video, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other things.
Most important thing today are credible sources, and we listen to Jim all the time. What is your concern on Executive Order 14067, which was just signed in as with Biden and company only a few months ago? What is your concern 14067?
Yeah, it has a number of parts, and the thing with well, executive orders, or for that matter, legislation. I could say you have to read the fine print, and you do, but you have to actually consider the hidden agendas. Like, well, you know, I can read it. Anyone can read it. It's a public document, but what's behind it, and where are they going with it? And that's really where the urgency comes in. It's basically an order that accelerates the U.S. movement towards a central bank digital currency, so-called CBDC. These are happening all over the world. Beijing already has one. They're past the prototype stage. They kind of rolled that out during the Winter Olympics, last February. Believe it or not, the Bahamas has a digital currency. There are a few other countries that have already gone in that direction. Europe is the European Central Bank is very far along. The U.S. and the Federal Reserve, because they print the currency, they understood the importance of it. They were watching it, but they were kind of taking their time, like, hey, we're the biggest payment currency, biggest reserve currency in the world, which the dollar is, and we don't want to race into something if it's not thought out. And they were doing a kind of joint venture R&D program with MIT. Okay, and they got some experts there, so that seems to make sense. But all of a sudden, they accelerated it. And they said, no, we got to move fast on this, and we got to catch up. And that's what 14067 was about. But okay, so that's kind of what you could get from reading. But what's the hidden agenda? Well, the first of all, just a little bit of background on central bank digital currencies. It's still the dollar, you know. So a digital dollar is still a dollar. A digital Chinese yuan is still a yuan. A digital euro is still a euro. So it's not a new currency, but it is a new payment channel, and it is a new form of the currency, if you want to think of it that way, even though it's still the dollar. And it goes hand in hand with getting rid of cash. In other words, I'll spend, in a minute, we'll get into what the central bank digital currency, what the hidden agenda is behind that. But as I go through the list of really bad things that can happen, you say, well, okay, but I still got cash. I can go down to the bank and get a, whatever, $10,000 or $100,000 in cash. By the way, that's not easy to do. You can, it's legal, it's not illegal, but try doing it. They'll tell you to come back, make an appointment. They don't have that much money. They got to ship it in. You better show up with like your birth certificate and five character witnesses, and then they'll report you to the Treasury, actually the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, knows the word crime, FinCEN for short, Northern Virginia, and you'll go in a file next to, so it's not so easy to get your cash, but you can in theory, and that's the alternative. So they have to not only push the digital currency agenda, which we'll talk about in a minute, but they have to get rid of cash, because as long as you have cash, you can do an end run around this. So these two things are coming down the track pretty fast. Now, flipping back to the central bank digital currency, it's not a cryptocurrency. It's not on a blockchain. A blockchain is just a ledger. They've been around since the 80s, no big deal. But this ledger will be maintained by somebody, probably the Federal Reserve. But there could be a new government agency doing it.
Jim,
So,
a ledger that keeps track of everybody's transactions.
Well, it does two things. It does that, you're right, Kim, but it also, it's kind of like a bank account. So we might quickly end up in a world where, I have an account at a bank, you guys have accounts at banks. Well, those banks are either members of the Federal Reserve System, or they're smaller banks that are correspondents of bigger banks that are members of the Federal Reserve System, like Bank of America. The point being, the banks kind of keep all the books. We might be in a world where you would have an account at the Fed, you know, Kim and Robert and I and everyone listening would have an account at the Fed. We'd have it on our iPhone or our Samsung or whatever our mobile phone is. And if I send you money, it just, the Fed takes it out of my account and sends it to your account. End of story. Kind of like a Venmo type of thing with, you know, larger denominations, et cetera. That has implications in terms of disintermediating the banks. Like if you can do that, which you can technically, who needs banks? But those are like ancillary. The Fed's main job from the beginning, from 1913, really 1907 onward, is to prop up the banks. Like that's why they're there. So I doubt they'll disintermediate the banks. But either way, you're going to have a faster, cheaper, better system for making payments. But what else? And this is the key. And this is why we're sounding the alarm a little bit on Executive Order 14067. So once it's digital, a couple of things. First of all, they know your whereabouts. Now, they already know your whereabouts from your iPhone, unless you turn your iPhone off, and not just turn it off, but put it in what's called a Faraday sack, which is a special woven fabric of a metallic weave that blocks radiation. And by the way, do the same thing with your Easy Pass and a bunch of other stuff. But unless you do that, then they know where you are for your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever. So they already know your whereabouts. We have facial recognition software. People go, I'm going to wear a mask and sunglasses and pull my hat down. Okay. They have what's called gait recognition software, G-A-I-T, meaning how you walk. Wow. And it's like a fingerprint. So even if you're wearing a mask, they see you walking down the street. They're like, that's Kim or that's Robert or Jim or as the case may be. So they already know a lot and they know your whereabouts. But now they're going to know what you're buying. Right, because every product has a, you know, a SKU, a stock keeping code, stock keeping unit code, you know, with a you know a QR scan, digital scan. They're gonna know what you're buying, and this digital currency is programmable, meaning they can block certain purchases or not. So let's say you donate money to Elise Stefanik. She's an up-and-coming Republican member of the Republican leadership at an upstate district in New York, or if you donate money to Donald Trump. Well, they might, they'll know that, first of all, and you might find that your account's frozen. Or let's say they want to, see, right now, if you work and you know, you're an employee, it's a technical term defined, and you get paid and you get a W-2 at the end of the year, but they withhold it from your payment. I mean, they get paid every 2 weeks or whatever. They withhold, employer withholds taxes from your wages, and then you file your, you get your W-2, file your tax return, you reconcile, maybe you get a refund, maybe you owe a little bit, but they got the money up front through withholding. But that's not true for independent contractors and professionals, so doctors, lawyers, architects, you know, landscaping. So anybody who's not W-2 employee doesn't have withholding. They got to pay their taxes. But what if they could just take it out of your bank account? It's like, yeah, okay, you're a doctor, but, you know, you put the money in this bank and I'm just going to take, you know, some number, 20% of out of your bank account every month. And yeah, you know, we'll send you a statement, 1099, file your tax return. You know, you owe or you get a refund, but no more honor system. In other words, no more waiting till year end. We're going to take it out of your bank account. Or what if, as a form of stimulus, even though it's not stimulus, but they'll call it that, but we're going to put a countdown clock on your bank account. And if you don't spend 10% of it in the next 30 days, we're going to deduct, you know, that much. So in other words, use it or lose it. So now all of a sudden, like, yeah, I worked hard. I made this money. It's in the bank. But you're telling me if I don't spend it, I'm going to lose it anyway. So I might as well go spend it. And of course, that the idea is to stimulate the economy. But the point is, the number of things you can do, from surveillance to identifying your political preferences, withholding taxes, account freezes, account seizures, you know, time limitations on your money. Your money's a countdown clock. It expires after a certain period of time. Etc. I could go on and on, but you take the point, which is it's not your money anymore. I've always said to people, you put your money in the bank, it's not your money, it's the bank's money, and they'll give it to you if they feel like it. Well, this is that same idea on stilts. And this is like, yeah, and now the government's involved and it's easier, everything easier, faster, cheaper about payments is also easier, faster, cheaper about surveillance, confiscation, account freezes, etc. And then people say to me, you know, they explain that what I just said to you guys, and they say, oh, that'll never happen. It's already happening. I mean, it's already here.
So there you have it, guys. One of the cons, and there's a lot of cons with this digital currency. And again, it's who's controlling it is what is the problem here. And as you heard Jim explain how they could freeze your account. So let's get into that for a second, because I, you know, me being Canadian, it's happened here in Canada where we had, and a lot of people know about this during the Freedom Convoy protests. Some of the organizers were arrested, and also they had their bank accounts frozen. And again, this is not in a digital system, a digital currency system. This was in a system that we're currently in now that we're trying to fade out. Now, you can imagine with a digital currency system or digital currency system, this would make it easier for governments to basically shut you down. So, for instance, if there was a decision that was made by Parliament or by Congress, and that you didn't like and you want to organize a protest, well, they can basically just shut you down if they want, and they can come up with any reason as to why. So again, I mean, again, all centralized methods, depending on what they are, can be very disastrous. And this whole digital currency thing is no different. As Jim was explaining, they have the technology. I mean, sure, you could try to sidestep some of them, try to beat the system, so to speak, but there's other ways that they can find you. Because again, don't forget, you're not the only one with a camera. There are cameras plastered everywhere. I mean, the entire planet is just one big camera, essentially. So even though they can't catch you on your own phone, they can pick up other surveillance cameras, which I pretty much think they would be tapped into, and then they can pick you up that way. So this whole digital thing for me is it's again it's a good idea, but when it's in the hands of politicians who are bought and paid for by lobbyists, again, it's a dangerous thing. So again, we talk about how our rights and freedoms are eroding. Well, now this is just another step towards that, where they could really just basically shut you down and just kind of imprison you in your own home, like we're seeing in China. Like China's got this whole digital system, not currency, but they have a digital ID system. And basically, I've told the story before where the banks a few months ago confiscated some money out of a lot of people's accounts in China, and these people wanted to protest about it, and all of a sudden their phones were activated, and they're basically their phones were telling them that they cannot leave their facilities because they were sick, because there's these color code things that they get on their phone, and basically if they get like a red color, basically they cannot leave. They have to remain isolated in their own home. So it's a very slippery slope. It really is. And like Robert has said, like myself, I've said we have to fight for a truly democratic system, a truly direct democracy. I mean, true democracy. This is what we need in order for us to change for the better. But anyways, let me move on to another article. This is actually out of the Bank of Canada for my countrymen and women. So I'm going to read what it says here. Central Bank Digital Currency, CBDC. We are building the capability to issue a digital version of the Canadian dollar, known as a central bank digital currency, Canadians can trust and rely on, so we can be ready should the need arise. Currently, we do not have plans to issue a digital currency. Ultimately, Parliament and the Government of Canada will determine if or when to issue a CBDC. So, Canada is going to do it. I mean, if the states, Bahamas is already doing it, and China and all these other countries, everybody's going to be on board with this. And because again, this is the ultimate tool for control. I mean, governments already want control. They don't have 100% control over its population, and this is a great way of doing it. So now let me move on to another article here. This is from the Contrarian Spectacular Reveals. Sorry, that's the name of the article. My bad. It's actually from the financialunderground.com, and there's a quote here in the article, which I'm just going to read the quote. Now, for those of you, I'm sure a lot of people know who Ray Dalio is. He's a hedge fund founder. And this is what he said recently about the whole digital currency thing. In quotations, it says, bigger than what happened in 2008. And of course, for any of you guys or gals that have lived through the 2008 financial debacle, we've seen how bad that was. Well, Ray Dalio is basically saying that this is going to be much bigger. So all I could say to that is just absolutely wow. Okay, so bigger than what happened in 2008, but that could prove to be far too optimistic. Here's the bottom line. We are at a critical juncture, and what's coming next could change everything. We will likely see incredible volatility in the financial markets as thousands of businesses potentially go bankrupt and inflation spirals out of control. It could decimate your life savings, 401ks, IRs, pensions, and Social Security. But we're not just talking about a stock market crash or a currency collapse. It's something much bigger, with the potential to alter the fabric of society forever and usher in the largest wealth transfer in history. In fact, even though most people don't realize it, this transfer of wealth has already started and is now accelerating. Those who do nothing to prepare, especially those at or near retirement, are looking at a disaster of biblical proportions. Prospering or just holding on to what you already have won't be easy. That's why the actions you take today could radically alter your life. The good news is that you don't have to become a victim. You have to decide, basically right now, how you're going to play your cards. Unfortunately, following conventional financial advice is likely a recipe for disaster in this environment. It is crucial that you can sift through the noise, misinformation, and outright propaganda to put the pieces together correctly to see the true big picture. Countless millions throughout history were wiped out financially, or worse, in times of profound change because they failed to see the big picture and take appropriate action. So, some dire predictions on behalf of Ray Dalio. And basically, he's talking about the monetary reset of 2023. So you can call whatever you want, the currency reset, the monetary reset, whatever. It doesn't really matter. The point is that big change is coming, and you know, change isn't necessarily a good thing. What I want to know is when this transition does happen, and a lot of these mainstreamers, you know, politicians and financial gurus, who toe the line, so to speak, they're saying that the transition is not going to be a rough one. Basically, they're saying that nothing will change. But again, you know, this is coming from people that were involved in the financial crash of 2008. So somehow, some way, I really don't put a lot of faith in them. So anyways, guys, I really appreciate you guys jumping on tonight. I'm really glad to be back. If you guys can, please share this video far and wide. Jump onto one of our three platforms and share the heck out of it if you like. And it was really nice chatting with you guys. And until next time, you guys take care.